the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. And it's time now to talk movies and show business with Colin Jeffrey, who is a very odd day here because Colin is not in his role as news guy on this show today. Mark Zinn is doing that. But Colin is here in his alter ego role as showbiz boy.
Look at
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I saw him walk in the door with the cape on. Normally he has to go in the little corner over there and
yeah.
take
he
off
goes in the phone booth.
News outfit and...
Doesn't have a phone in it anymore because nobody, you know, pay phones don't exist in most places, but it's still a booth, and that's where he does his Wonder Woman swirl.
Yes.
And comes out as a showbiz boy. This portion of the show, by the way, is brought to you by Oreck Home Centers throughout the St. Louis area, all locally owned and operated. Great places to get vacuum cleaners and all sorts of home supplies. O-R-E-C-K spells Oreck. So we've got a few movies opening up today, one that you and I both saw, and a few others. But before we get to that, are we to the end of the horrible month of the year?
We're getting there. You and I saw movies this week. I think we might be in the last week of it, hopefully.
Quality goes up a little bit next month?
Yeah, the Oscar race starts in the next week or two.
Speaking of upcoming movies, I found out that the movie that I appear in, which is called Mississippi Grind,
yes.
is opening in St. Louis on October 2nd.
Ooh. There we go.
I emailed the writer-directors this week and said, you know, when is it coming out, and when are you going to come on the show and finally be able to talk about it?
When do I get to walk down my red carpet?
Yeah. But here's the odd thing. It's on DirecTV on demand right now.
It is?
Yes. Apparently, DirecTV helped with the financing of the movie, and so they got a one-month exclusive window to put it on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I know about that is I went to play poker the other night, and a guy comes up to me and says, did I see you in a movie this week? I watched this poker movie on TV called Mississippi Grind, and I'm pretty sure that was you. Was that you?
Wow.
And I said, yeah, that was me in that one small scene.
Wow.
Playing with Ben Mendelsohn.
Hey, did you see The Gift?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. And you did not see it either.
No.
Right? Okay.
Why? Why do you ask?
Because I saw it, and I thought one of you two saw it and said that you liked it, but
no,
I saw it and liked it.
Okay. On a scale of 10?
Scale of 10, I would give it an 8.
Okay.
Wow. Because
you need to know that in Dan Strauss's world, it's really a scale of 6 to 10.
Okay.
Dan doesn't hate any movies.
I don't hate any movies, but there were a couple of scenes that you knew something was coming, and you almost knew that what happened was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of scenes like that, but for the most part, it was a very good
movie. Were you scared?
I was frightened, yes.
Really?
No, I wasn't.
Well, it's supposed to be a suspenseful movie. That's why I'm asking
you. It is suspenseful. It is very suspenseful. My girlfriend squeezed my arm several times. And
was she saying, come on, let's go?
No, suspense. No, suspense.
Yeah.
No, suspense.
Okay. Well, that leads us directly into the movie that we're going to talk about here today, which is called No Escape, which stars Owen Wilson and Lake Bell and Pierce Brosnan.
Yes.
And Colin and I were both there at the screening the other night. I'm going to let you take the lead on this one, and I'll chime in.
Fair enough. No Escape is a quick little thriller that stars Owen Wilson and Lake Bell. The story is Owen Wilson gets a job and has to take his family across the globe to an unnamed Southeast Asian country. Based on the geography, we can assume it's Cambodia, but they don't say that.
No, they don't.
They're very careful.
Right.
Some of the language on the signs may be Khmer, but we cannot say it's Cambodia.
We don't know.
We don't know.
And you don't have to know.
You don't have to know. You just have to know that there is a political uprising, a dictator or supreme leader or something of this sort.
Which apparently he and his family are not aware of because...
Yes.
Well, here's what happened. Owen Wilson, before the movie started, Owen Wilson had a company that went belly up.
What type of company?
We don't know.
They invented a valve. That's all we hear. They invented a valve.
But there's a lot of things in this movie where you don't have to know to go with the flow of the movie. And so now he has found a job with this multinational conglomerate that has some interest in this Southeast Asian country. And he's not happy about it, but he's picked up and taken his wife and their two darling little daughters across the world, as you say, to someplace in Southeast Asia.
Yes, and while they are there, right before they arrive, I guess, there's an assassination of this world leader. They get there blissfully unaware, show up at this opulent hotel, I guess we should say, on the plane, and then immediately after they meet Pierce Brosnan, who plays a drunk British tourist, we'll say.
Yep.
He regularly travels. This opulent hotel, they stay the night. The cable's not working. The phones aren't working.
The electricity's not 100%.
And so they're like, this isn't a great hotel. They don't know that there's a huge political...
There's a coup.
Exactly. There's a coup.
There's unrest in the streets.
Yes.
I hate when that happens.
So the next day, Owen Wilson goes to get a USA Today. Because, of course, he does not speak the language at all. He's not familiar with the culture. And USA Today is what he decides to go get. And while out there, he gets caught in the middle of a conflict between the armed police and the civilian...
Rebels.
Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And this begins their attempt to escape the country. And
but he doesn't know that the rebels are mad at anybody who's not Asian.
Especially Americans.
Especially Americans, and especially people from the company that he works for.
Cardiff, I think, is what it's called.
That's what they call it. And particularly him, because his face is on a poster at the hotel.
Yes.
Along with two other people from Cardiff.
So it's a very tense thriller. This director, John Eric Dowdle, you've never heard of him.
No, I never heard of him before.
But you've heard of the movies he's done if you're a fan of thrillers. He did Devil, the M. Night Shyamalan-produced movie that takes place inside an elevator that deals with the devil. And you've seen Quarantine, likely, that is a found footage documentary style of a infection being loosed in a fire station. They're both very tense movies. I recommend both of them if you like that genre. And he also did As Above, So Below. That was not good from last year. But I recommend he knows how to build suspense. And he does in this film very quickly. This goes from 0 to 100 in 5 minutes.
Yes.
In 5 minutes, you're dealing with... I mean, it's really sort of edge of your seat.
Here's what it goes from. Oh, look at this American family. Aren't those two girls crazy? Holy cow, run for your lives!
I mean, graphic murders, torture scenes, people going door to door in a hotel, hacking people up with machetes.
Yeah.
And it's pretty, and it's realistic because this can actually happen
in some parts of the world. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Now, one of the things you and I talk about when we deal with a horror movie or thriller, you have to have a good villain.
Mm-hmm.
This does not have a good villain.
Well, it doesn't have the face of a singular person who's the villain.
And that's kind of what I want to talk. It does not have that good. There's someone who's maybe in charge of the rebels that you'll see in this. He's not particularly compelling. He shows up in a few scenes, but outside that, he's not driving the force of the bad guys, so far as you can tell. It's a mob. When I say mob, I sort of, when I was watching this, thought of zombies for some reason. Because it's just, they're everywhere, they're slowly chasing
they
you.
They keep coming, no and matter this, what.
This is perhaps the movie's greatest misstep. It comes across xenophobic when you have Asians who are upset, and they give lip service to why they're upset. They have a legitimate reason, but it's two throwaway sentences.
Yep.
They essentially turn them into zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Without being zombies, they just say they're a mindless Asian killing horde.
Yes.
And that was not good, in my opinion. I'm not saying it's offensive. I'm just saying it's really, really a bad, bad villain.
Okay, I can understand the argument about it's the Asians versus the white people.
Yes.
I understand that. Didn't matter to me. And it also didn't matter to me that there wasn't a single person who was the head of this group of Asian rebels in this town who were out to kill. By the way, there are some good Asians.
There are some good Asians. Yes,
try to help
are.
Owen Wilson and his family. Doesn't work out so well for them.
No.
Because this horde of rebels who are roaming the streets trying to find these Caucasians, they just keep coming. And I like the fact that there wasn't a central character, because if you put your mind inside Owen Wilson's head or Lake Bell's head as they are running with their two daughters, A, they don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Why are these people doing this? They have no idea, and we have no idea until late in the movie where it's explained. And as you point out, you don't need to know that.
No, but they try. If they hadn't included it, it probably would have been better. But they just try to shoehorn in.
Okay.
Here's why they're upset.
Right.
And So
you don't need to know that. So to me, it's okay, because I can understand the absolute horror of going on vacation somewhere and you wake up in the morning and some group of people are overrunning the city and killing everyone that looks like you. Oh, and by the way, they're really looking for you. And you've got to get out of there with your wife and your two kids. And there are a couple of scenes in this that are Very harrowing. I'll tell you, I brought my wife to the press screening the other night. She had to leave.
Yeah.
It was too upsetting to her to watch this, particularly the scenes with the kids, because there's stuff that goes on. I'm not going to give away too much, but I will say the commercial and the trailer for this movie already give away
the most tense scene in the first 45 minutes of the film.
Absolutely. In which they're on the roof of their hotel, and these marauding, murderous whatever rebels are coming, and they're killing everybody in their path. And they have to get off this roof. And so Owen Wilson sees there's another building next door that's maybe a story or two lower, the roof of that one. And they have to jump across a street from the top of this building to that building. And the kids can't possibly make the jump. So he sends Lake Bell over there first. She makes the jump and she's okay, scratched up, but not badly hurt. And then he has to throw the two girls who are, how old do you think? Four and six?
Maybe, yep, around there, yeah.
Okay, he has to throw his little daughters across from one rooftop to the other. And it is harrowing watching this whole sequence play out.
Mm-hmm.
I could see how some people might see this movie and go, well, it's all about that scene. Because that is the central horrific scene, except for one that happens later.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the fact that it's rolling terror through the streets wherever they go. They don't know who they can trust. They don't know where to go. They're in a place where they can't read the signs. They can't talk to anybody in their language. They don't know how to get out of there. Who will help us? Will anyone help us? How do we get out of here?
And
holy cow.
And
I'm getting upset just thinking about it.
And it did a good job of mixing multiple types of the thrills. There were times when they were sprinting all out trying to avoid these people who are coming after them.
Yeah.
And then there are times where very little is happening,
but
it's perhaps more tense.
You're hiding and you're looking through a crack and you see the bad guys going by and, you know, hopefully one of the girls doesn't cry or something so that they hear us and they find us and...
Holy God. Is a return to form for him, I think. This is closer to his earlier work that I liked.
Now, I have to say, I don't like horror movies.
Yes.
I don't like zombie movies. I don't like supernatural beings. I don't like alien movies.
Post-apocalyptic movies, though.
No, I don't. I don't like that sort of stuff. I don't like movies that are specifically set out to scare the pants off of you. I don't like what's called the genre of horror. To me, this is not a horror movie. This is a suspense movie because you don't know from minute to minute how are they going to get out of where they are now. Will anybody come and save them? Will they ever get to safety? And if so, how will they get away from these thugs who have guns and knives and batons, which they're using to kill every white person they come across? Holy cow.
Yes. Lake Bell, I think, was very good in it.
Yes, she was.
I bought her.
Yep.
Pierce Brosnan, I really liked.
Didn't his role in this remind you a little bit of a movie he did called The Matador?
Yes, it did. Very much. But it's
And by the way, if you haven't seen that one, that's a good one to put in your Netflix queue, The Matador. It's probably about 10 years old.
Oh, yeah.
But it's very unlike 007. It's almost him making fun of a character like that. He's an assassin, and it's got Greg Kinnear in it, and it's really, really good. It's called The Matador. This character is a little bit like that, just a little.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed a character that we know as Kenny Rogers. I thought it was a nice bit of levity in an otherwise very, very tense movie.
Yes, absolutely.
And the only person I really didn't buy all the way was Owen Wilson. And I don't know if it's just I can't get over my hang-up as Owen Wilson and Wedding Crasher. I mean, all the movies that he has done that are comedies. But it just, he was the only one I didn't buy in the role. And there were just a couple scenes where it kind of pulled me out of it a little bit. So I'm like, oh, wait, I'm watching Owen Wilson try and act.
I got to disagree with you again.
Okay.
I was worried about this because I didn't know anything about the movie going in, but I knew it was a drama and not a comedy. And I thought, well, Owen Wilson in a drama, how's that going to work out? I think he pulled it off. I think he did a good job. I thought he was believable. And particularly with the relationship he had with Lake Bell as his wife and the two incredibly cute little girls who are in this movie as the daughters. I believe that he was their daddy and that he was concerned about the horror going on around them.
Those girls were great.
Yeah.
And they were written so well because you always worry in these type of movies when there's a kid that they're going to do something. It's just like, no, don't do this stupid thing you're thinking about.
Yeah.
And kids have no impulse control, so it works very well to have this, no, don't do this stupid thing. Up, you're eight. You have no impulse control. Of course you're going to do the stupid thing.
Right.
I love that because you're saying to the screen, don't go in there alone. And Of course, what do they do in the horror movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go check on that noise.
Right.
And I love that they added that. And it wasn't that the adults were stupid. And I don't even mean kids are stupid. But you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
From the point of view of a movie, the kids are going to do the thing that keeps them alive less often than they do the thing that puts them in danger.
Now, one other thing I got to mention, and I don't want to spoil this because I do think people should go see this movie, mm-hmm. No Escape. There's a scene rather late in the movie that is, it's kind of horrific, and it involves mm-hmm. the little girl. And on the way home, my wife and I were talking about it. She was gone. She had not seen this part of the movie. So I kind of was describing a little bit of it to her. And I said, you know, the girl who's playing this 6-year-old or 8-year-old or however she is, she's probably 9 or 10,
mm-hmm.
the actual actress, the girl. How do you think it was for her after having to film that scene? She knows she's in a movie. She knows it's not for real, but you got to make it as real as possible. I wonder if she went home and had nightmares. She's a little girl.
I would think maybe. Yeah, because the scene you're talking about is very intense. If you see this movie, we won't have to point it out to you as to what it was.
I will tell you, as the father of a daughter, she's mm-hmm. not that young anymore, but there were parts of this movie that give me a little bit of a nightmare that night when I went home.
As parents, I think it's going to hit a bit closer to home.
Yeah.
Especially if you have little girls. But any kid, you're going to think, wow. Yeah, you would. I mean, it gives them a reason to survive outside of just, oh, gee golly, I hope they live. You're like, I hope nothing happens to these kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked it overall. It's sort of nitpicky things, but they were these few moments in the movie that just kind of pulled me out of it for quick times. Mm. It's a really tight. I looked at it and there's not a scene I would cut. Like, I was thinking about it on the way home. I'm like, there wasn't anything, because you need the lulls in something like this. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just exhausted.
Absolutely. The pacing of the movie is really good. And this director, let's say his name again, John Eric Dowdle. I'd never heard of him before.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to do suspense on the screen.
And if you like this movie, or if you want to prepare for this, go back, watch Quarantine and watch Devil. They're closed room sort of thrillers, but you're going to get the idea of his style.
All right. This one's called No Escape. What do you give it on a scale of 10?
7.
I'm going to give it 7.5.
Okay.
I don't think it's one of the best movies of the year, but it's certainly the best movie of this month.
Yes.
Which has been full of absolute garbage.
So would you guys consider this a date movie? I mean, your wife walked out on it.
Yeah.
Walked out because she couldn't take watching some of the scenes.
I would not say it's a date movie for a couple that has small girls.
Yeah.
No. Probably not. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you've got two daughters under 10, don't go see this movie.
No.
But I also don't think it's a first date movie, but
I don't think it's a movie if you're going to be moving overseas. I don't think this is a good film to see.
Yeah. If you have a spouse who does business overseas, all right, honey, I've got to get on that flight to Hong Kong on Saturday. Do you want to go to a movie on Thursday night?
Not the movie to see.
This might not be the one to see.
Yeah.
But I think we both liked it, and we would both recommend. You could take your girlfriend, Dan.
Yeah.
But be aware that it's going to be tense, and because you have a daughter,
yes,
there are going to be parts in this where you're going to go, particularly because you're in separation now from your daughter because she went out to college last week.
Yes. Yeah.
So you have some of those emotions inside of you.
Yeah, but my girlfriend on The Gift, and The Gift doesn't sound like it's that intense. And she was grabbing my arm and squeezing my arm on that one.
This is intense.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, here's Ian.
Yes.
Who's got a little baby boy. You can go see this, no problem.
Yeah.
It'll be a comedy to you.
Maybe I'll go see it with Peon.
We recommend it. It's called No Escape. Now, a couple of other movies that are opening this weekend. I saw one other screening this week of a movie called Mistress America. This is a movie made by Noah Baumbach, who he's an overrated writer and director. He made a movie came out last year, which I still haven't seen, called While We're Young, with Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts. But he also made a movie with Ben Stiller a few years ago called Greenberg, which got raves, which I did not like. He made another one with Greta Gerwig. She's in a lot of his movies. It's called Frances Ha. I thought that movie was overrated. So I don't even know why I went to this thing. But let me tell you what it's about. It's about, and by the way, this one also hits home for me a little bit because, as you know, if you're a regular listener to the show, my daughter is 21 years old, goes to college in New York City. This is a movie about a freshman who goes off to college in New York City. at Barnard. The actress who plays this college freshman is Lola Kirk, whose father was Simon Kirk, who was in the band Bad Company and Free.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She also had a small role a couple of years ago in Gone Girl. So she's a college freshman who goes to New York, and she's kind of lonely there. She doesn't know anybody. And then she gets a call from her mother that the mother is going to be marrying this man, and that the man has his own daughter who lives in New York and is about 10 years older. And she says, why don't you get together with her? She's going to be your stepsister. The two of you should get together. Now, I will tell you this. As I said, my daughter goes to school in New York, and we know a couple of people in New York, and my wife has relatives who live in New York City. In the 3 years thus far that my daughter has been in New York, I think she's talked to those people once. Because you say to an 18, 19-year-old girl, hey, we have relatives there who you've never met or who you met once long time ago, and you should call them and tell them that you're there and get together with them. And they'll go, okay, I'm not going to do that.
I don't remember them.
Teenagers are not going to do that. They're not going to reach out to somebody they don't know. It's enough for them to already make their own life with their own peer group, let alone some relative.
Yeah.
So in this movie, she's initially resistant of it, but she calls her up, and it turns out that this potential stepsister, played by Greta Gerwig, is the kind of flighty woman from New York who you see in 150,000 other movies. Fast-talking, has all sorts of schemes that she's involved in, has all sorts of ideas about wacky things, a lifestyle that seems open and free, and she's 30, and this young woman is 18 years old, and she's kind of taken in by that. And so they go off, and they have a few adventures together. This movie, Mistress America, is not so much a movie as a series of set pieces. And there's one in the middle that is completely out of character with the rest of the movie, in which they go off to the country. I'm not going to even bother explaining to you why, but while they're visiting these people in the country in a big house, it's like they suddenly have decided to put on a production of Noises Off. They're going to do a door-slamming farce in the middle of this other movie that has nothing to do with any of that pacing or any of those characters. And it's the central part of the second half of the movie, and it doesn't fit at all. The rest of it doesn't even fit together. It's like you got a bunch of Lego pieces, and they won't go together because the little nubs have been broken off. That's what this movie's like. So you have a bunch of pieces of plastic that don't fit together, and they don't make anything. And you look down and you go, well, that's not a movie. And this isn't really a movie. I give it 4 out of 10. It's called Mistress America. I like this young actress, Lola Kirk, but I am not going to see any more movies made by this guy, Noah Baumbach. I'm done with him. Absolutely.
While We're Young, you mentioned, that's one of those movies about an older married couple meets up with a younger, freshly married or dating couple.
Did you see it?
Yes.
Is it good?
It's one of those movies that you watch with your significant other after you've been married for a while, and you're both like, wow, that was depressing. Because the point of the movie is essentially to tell you, you've been married forever. Don't you wish you were not married forever? Because look at all the fun these younger people have.
Yeah, well, I think I'll take my wife of 32 years to see that. It sounds like a laugh riot.
There's so many movies out there like that. Oh, yeah. No, I did not like it. While We're Young, I did not like from last year.
All right.
A couple other movies opening. They're all in limited release. The other one, if you need a sci-fi post-apocalyptic film, Z for Zachariah. In the wake of a disaster that wipes out most of civilization, two men and a young woman find themselves in an emotionally charged love triangle as the last known survivors.
Ooh.
So that right up your alley.
Isn't that that Will Forte Fox show?
Oh, Last Man on Earth. Yes. That is so good. I love that show.
That was, yes, I was a big fan, too.
Oh, yeah.
Even with January Jones in it?
Yes.
Oh.
She's much better in that than she was on Mad Men, don't you think?
I have watched the first season of Mad Men, and that is it. So,
okay.
I don't know.
I like Mad Men a lot, but she was the low point in that series.
Okay.
I like February Smith better.
She's very good, too.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. What else is opening this weekend?
February Smith.
The only other one.
Smith.
Jones.
Smith and Jones.
Smith and Jones.
January Jones, February Smith.
Yeah. Oh, Smith, the common names.
Did you not get a script?
Queen of Earth is the other.
How many times, Dan, have I said, Ian, come to rehearsal?
I know. I don't get
it. He won't show up.
No.
Queen of Earth. The other one, Elizabeth Moss, also from Mad Men.
Yeah.
Two women grew up together. They're not best of friends anymore. I don't know. Both limited releases.
Okay.
These are Frontenac type movies.
All right.
So those are the other movies coming out this week.
Hey, okay. When do you guys see, what's the one coming out where it's Robert Redford and Nick Nolte?
A Walk in the Forest or Woods or something.
A Walk in the Woods. They're screening it
Walk
next
in
week.
The Woods. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if it opens next week or in 2 weeks. But
I know it opens on a Wednesday night. So.
Yeah. Yeah. What's with that?
Yeah.
Because No Escape
did it
opened
as well.
On Wednesday this week. It's not a holiday weekend. Why would they open on Wednesday instead of Friday?
Why not? I mean, there's no competition. Really, they're going to be opening up against Straight Outta Compton. What's the point of competing with that? Give people a couple extra days. Maybe you can generate some good word of mouth advertising. I mean, that's why.
Okay.
You really do it. It backfires too.
Can you check Box Office Mojo and tell us if it's done anything in the last couple of days? No Escape.
It has done $2.6 million, I think.
Oh, that's all.
Sounds right. Oh yeah, it's not going to have a huge weekend.
Huh.
I mean. How many people listen to us? Let's see if we can bump that up. I think we can take it from 9 million to 9.001 million.
Yeah, excellent. That's the impact of the Showbiz Show, ladies
and
gentlemen.
That's not a lot of confidence.
Christopher Guest, who has made such great movies as Best in Show and Waiting for Guffman, has announced his next project is going to be called Mascots.
A Mighty Wind, too.
Oh, yeah, he did A Mighty Wind.
This is Spinal Tap?
This is Spinal Tap, yep. Mascots is about a reunion of people who used to be mascots for various sports teams. It stars Jane Lynch, Parker Posey, John Michael Higgins, Jennifer Coolidge, Bob Balaban, all of whom have been in many Christopher Guest movies.
Eugene Levy, is he in it?
No, it does not have Eugene Levy. It does not have Catherine O'Hara.
Wow.
Not only is Eugene Levy not being in it a loss for the acting side of it, but also he co-wrote all four of those movies we just mentioned.
Yeah.
So he and O'Hara are off. They're doing some other project. I hope that he can work a way to wrangle them in and schedule it so that they can be in it because they are so funny together.
Yep.
It's called Mascots. They haven't even started production on it yet. It was just announced this week. And there's going to be a TV version of a movie that I know Dan and I both loved.
Too.
Oh, you loved it too?
Oh, yeah.
A movie called Galaxy Quest, which came out in 1999. Which, if you ever liked the TV series Star Trek, even if it's not the original one, even if it was Next Generation or one of the later ones, Galaxy Quest is a fantastic parody of that, particularly the first one, because it's got a William Shatner kind of character played by Tim Allen, and it's got a Spock kind of character played by Alan Rickman, and it's got Sigourney Weaver, and it's got...
Tony Shalhoub.
It's got Sam Rockwell.
Yes.
Who's very funny in that movie. That's another one to put on your queue if you haven't seen it yet. Galaxy Quest.
And Sigourney Weaver has some nice cleavage going.
Yes, she does. Well, Amazon, which is one of the new content providers, is asking the original people behind Galaxy Quest to do a pilot for them. They're not committing to a series yet, but this is how Amazon Studios does it. They have them do one either 30 or 60-minute pilot version of it, and then they let Amazon Prime users watch it for free and vote on it. Like I was talking last week about Sneaky Pete, which I like a lot, which you can watch now for free if you're a Prime member, and vote on it, and hopefully that Bryan Cranston-produced series will go and become an actual series. But they're doing the same thing with Galaxy Quest, which I think will be funny because it's a movie parody of a TV series that might become a TV series.
Yeah.
Can you see it as a TV series, ongoing adventures?
Yes. I guess I could. The guy that played Guy, remember, he was like the extra guy that in there?
Yeah, that's Sam Rockwell.
He was the bad guy in... Green Mile, right? Was he the bad guy?
No, he was not the bad guy in Green
Mile.
Okay,
he looks like him.
Yes, he does.
He's been in a bunch of movies, though.
Okay.
Officer Percy is here. I can't remember the actor, though.
No, not Officer Percy. The guy that actually went in killed the...
Yes, he was the murderer.
Yeah.
That John Coffey had been framed for.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Any other movie-related stuff?
I've got a few other things. This is actually a TV-related item, but I love when I find things out like this. Ratings are one way to look at how popular a show is, but there's another way. In the BBC, when a show is very popular, they notice a surge in electricity usage after the show. Why, you ask? It's the English people firing up their electric kettles to make tea. They can tell how popular a show was by how large that bump was.
I don't believe that. You know, they used to say the same thing about the Super Bowl, that they could measure the level of water in a city by the number of times the toilets were flushed at halftime when people had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
It turned out that was not true at all. That was debunked a long time ago, and I don't buy this either.
Paula Deen is coming on Dancing with the Stars. That'll be that.
She is?
That's what they're saying. Minions crossed $1 billion, which isn't a surprise. It's not a good movie. Please don't go see it. It's already hit $1 billion, though, so I don't know what good my pleas have done. But it now gives Universal Pictures their $3 billion movie of the year, which has never been done before. Narcos started on Netflix today.
What's that?
It is, why can't I remember his name?
Who?
Oh, gosh. Cocaine.
Pablo Escobar.
Oh. Watch it. I watched the first episode.
Wow, you guys should be password team. That was nice.
Yeah.
He went narco and cocaine, and I went, all right, Pablo Escobar.
The first episode, the first 5 minutes are going to hook you on this.
Okay.
Star Wars.
How many episodes are there of this thing?
I think 13 is what they did.
Now, I just want to say this about Netflix series. This is true for House of Cards. It was also true for Bloodline with Ben Mendelsohn, the co-star of Mississippi Grind. Sometimes
you're going to have to recuse yourself from that review, I think.
No.
He's got to do it.
I will just say that for both Bloodline and for House of Cards and one other series I've watched on Netflix, and I can't remember the title of, they get off to a great start and they have a great finish, but they slow down a little bit in the middle. And I don't know exactly why that is or what the problem is, and I hope that's not true of this one. I'll check it out. Narcos, it's called?
Narcos. And then two quick things. Star Wars, everyone's saying it's going to have an absolutely obscene opening weekend. I've now seen the craziest estimate I've ever seen for a movie. Worldwide, it's all opening the same day. They're saying the opening weekend, Star Wars could do $615 million worldwide.
Wow.
I don't buy that for a second. I think it's putting expectations way too high. Just, that's obscene. I've never, more than $500 million.
Well, Ian mentioned, was it yesterday you mentioned the thing about the IMAX movies?
They have.
No, just today, yesterday on the show here. The entire first month of the new Star Wars release.
Every IMAX screen in America will show that new Star Wars.
And there are a couple other big movies, I can't remember in the article they mentioned, that are just essentially
getting pushed
out. Out of luck.
Yeah. Wow. Especially on Christmas Day, there's a few. And then a website I use quite frequently, they do a great job with box office analysis. Also, it is closed down, ropeofsilicon.com. This was a great website for this stuff. So find these little sites for movie news and go there.
One last little piece of news here, television related. Stephen Colbert, who debuts his version of The Late Show on September 8th, the day after Labor Day, has announced the guests on his first week, and he's going to have George Clooney, Scarlett Johansson, and Amy Schumer. But he's also going to talk with Jeb Bush, Elon Musk, Stephen King, and Travis Kalanick, who's the CEO of Uber. Here's why this is interesting. These are actual guests that he can have a conversation with. So it's not going to be like Jimmy Fallon's game playing or Jimmy Kimmel's viral video wannabe segments. There could actually be conversation returning to late night, which I think will be a good thing. Colbert proved on his Comedy Central show, The Colbert Report, that he can engage with authors and politicians and scientists and other smart people in a way that's entertaining and informative. So I'm really looking forward to him. I don't record any of the late night shows anymore. Mm-hmm. I will when September 8th rolls around for the new late show with Stephen Colbert.
George Clooney may mention co-starring with me and Up in the Air.
Oh, I'm sure he'll bring that up.
He probably will.
Absolutely.
You got two movie veterans in the room.
I know.
Yeah, you do. Know. That's the showbiz show for today. Thanks, Colin.
Thank you.